This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. The debate between government control and letting the private sector do what it does rages on in just about every different sector of our economy. And that includes the internet in a battle known as net neutrality. So which is the right way to go? That's what we ask in this piece narrated by Radio America's Jason Sokol and produced by Tianya Wu.
The issue of net neutrality is constantly triggering legal, economic, and political debate in the United States. It advocates the principle that government or internet service providers, such as Comcast or AT&T, should not be allowed to restrict content, websites, or platforms related to the internet. On one hand, the FCC has laid down rules for the telecommunications industry to follow. On the other, the FCC's authority to impose net neutrality guidelines was challenged by Comcast this spring. Comcast was discovered to be slowing down its users' access to file-sharing sites because the downloading slowed down other users' speed. The decision was against net neutrality principles. However, when the FCC sued Comcast, the court ruled that the FCC has no authority to regulate it or any other ISP. So, in order to have a solid legal authority for net neutrality rule, the FCC came up with the third way approach, which refers to the broadband reclassification from an unregulated information service to a regulated common carrier service. Mike Wendy is the vice president of Press and External Affairs of the Progress and Freedom Foundation.
This so-called third way, this reclassification, where the FCC will essentially split out the broadband carrier element, the transmission element, from the information services and regulate lightly the broadband carrier element with a handful of classic telephone-like regulations. So that's where we are right now.
After the FCC began seeking the first round of comments on reclassifying broadband, or the third way approach, last Thursday, it began the process of replying to those comments. According to the online magazine PC World, more than 25,000 people and organizations have filed comments, and the majority appear to favor the third way approach. However, the road to net neutrality is far from over. Experts have completely different ideas towards net neutrality and the third way approach. Mark Grabowski is a media lawyer and a professor at Adelphi University.
Internet service providers have long been opposed to network neutrality. They've said we need to go and be able to regulate our internet service so that if users are using sites that are slowing down our service for everyone else, we should either be able to block those sites or slow down those sites to the point where people won't be able to use them. And there's a concern by network neutrality advocates about how far this will extend. It's one thing if Comcast and other internet service providers are slowing down traffic to file sharing websites, which oftentimes, you know, people are legally downloading copyrighted material. But it's another thing if they start going and blocking access or slowing down access to legitimate websites like Hulu.com or YouTube.com, which they could conceivably do without network neutrality regulation.
The opinions advocating net neutrality and the third way approach contrast with opposing views mainly on three fronts. First, is the market broken now when government is obligated to get involved? Tim Carr, the campaign director of the Free Press, advocates the net neutrality and third way approaches.
These very powerful ISPs, companies like AT&T and Comcast, these are cable and phone companies, control approximately 97% of high-speed internet access in the United States. In many of these markets, people have only one choice of broadband internet provider. So you have a failure of competition, which creates this, their ability to control content and to extract, you know, extortionate rates and fees from users. So, yes, the market has failed, and its failure is largely at their own making. These corporations, the phone and cable lobby, are very, very powerful in Washington, and they have actually created regulations that basically give them near monopoly control over internet access in this country.
But Mike Wendy of Progress Freedom Foundation disagrees.
We already argue that right now we have net neutrality. We already have a working market. We already have services that people like, and these services are growing and they're proliferating. We see technology answers at the core. We see them at the edge. And we don't see the so-called harm or even the conjectural harm that's being posed by the other side. We see a market that's working. The FCC says maybe something's broken. They haven't really shown us what's broken. They're basing this on two cases where the network was questionably interfered with by network providers. Two cases in the trillions and trillions of packets that go through every day, the network worked.
The second front is whether or not the third way approach will undermine the investment in and innovation of the market. Carr doesn't think so.
the private sector will oftentimes say, well, you're going to kill our business. You're going to kill investment. And so they could generate all this sort of rhetoric around that as a way to sort of fire a warning shot across the bow of regulators. And it's fair to say that regulators have as their responsibility to foster healthy businesses. But this idea that it should remove all forms of regulations and let the free markets prosper hasn't really borne itself out in history.
Wendy, however, is very concerned.
Right now, the market is putting out the economic calls to specialty-based providers. And through the lack of regulation, these providers are going out because they can get a rate of return value based on what they have invested in those facilities. We see a lot of options in the marketplace. We believe we'll see more options in the marketplace if you let these economic signals through the lack of regulation proliferate. When you put that arbitrary government stamp in there and the sum on a scale, that will reduce those calls, that will reduce those players in the market who might see niche, might see other avenues that people aren't now servicing, and that will reduce especially the core investment in the network itself.
The third front is who should be trusted to protect public interest, private companies or the FCC? Professor Grabowski is concerned about unlimited power of monopolies.
If you don't go and have government involvement, you know, you could get into these situations where you have sort of monopolies forming. You know, there could be collusion. I think ultimately for the protection of consumers and the free flow of information, it's possible that, yeah, I think it's important that we do have some laws about this, that requiring people to act in the public's interest. Because right now there are no laws requiring that, and I don't think we should necessarily trust companies to sort of do the right thing and to serve the public interest. Companies are going to be looking at the bottom line.
Mike Wendy is worried about too much power being placed in the hands of the administration.
Now what they're doing is adding rules to that market that works, and we just know the nature of bureaucracy and nature of the administrative state is to, once those rules are in place, that they'll expand. And they'll expand, well, I guess we're most worried about rate regulation, price controls. If the FCC feels compelled that they need to step in and to regulate or to improve on what is a pretty good situation, then work around on those margin elements, on those discrete and insular populations that lack it, which are not many, on working on the complementary input, computer education and an understanding of IT, which tends to be actually a greater hurdle to adoption. Work on those elements.
Congress is likely to play an important function in defining the FCC's role and authority on net neutrality. The FCC's comment period ends on August 12th. This is Jason Sokol of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.